The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in, ACC edition, Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. Bear, I'm sorry for last week going over the time. We went over our allotted time. I think it was the excitement of the SEC, us getting back together.
It just means more.
Correct. So, Schwenk, our guy behind the scenes, we got 60 minutes. That means we got 14 teams in the ACC, and we got to throw in my Irish. So, 15, you do the math. If we go over the allotted time of any team, buzz the horn or just mute my mic. And sorry for those teams. I do have to add, last year, we didn't even get to Pitt, and they won the conference. So, sorry about that, Pitt fans. We will get to the Panthers.
Didn't I make like a snide comment or something?
Which, yes. I know, they're
going to be 7-4. They're 7-5, and you're good. It's kind of like someone. Rob G, the esteemed Rob G, who's one of the great producers in ESPN history. He was on Twitter. He tweeted something earlier today about with the NFL. That he just doesn't know where to begin, and all he knows is the Jets are going to be bad. And I said back to him, I said, if you go into the year just knowing that the Jets are going to be bad and the Bears are going to be bad, you're on the right path. So you're off to a good start. So that's in light of me calling Pitt 7-5.
Quick NFL shoot. I did get 10-1 on the Seahawks to have the worst record. So that's your NFL insider.
Did you? I actually played the Bears at 10-1 to have the worst record, especially only in light of the Roquan Smith news yesterday. So who knows? They'll probably have to get like 30 cents on the dollar on him.
Mm. All right. Here's how I had this broken down looking at this last night. How are we going to do this? And we had 5 teams ranked in this coaches poll from the ACC, this preseason poll, and everybody could take it what they want with the poll. And we did college football live yesterday, and I was asked at the end of the year, will there be more teams? And I kind of said, push. I thought these 5 teams, when you talk about Clemson, Wake Forest, Miami, Pitt, and
NC State.
I think those teams are in their own tier compared to the other teams. I think the other teams are in their own – I think they have a lot more work to do. Now, there's a lot of potential there. So I put Florida State in that category, Louisville, BC, North Carolina is a team that a lot of people like. So let's start at the top. Let's do Wake Forest. Understood the news today. Sam Hartman out indefinitely. And then Coach Clawson comes out after practice or in between sessions and says he will be back this year. So I did see a great nugget from David Hale, who said the last person to throw a touchdown pass was Griffs, other than Hartman. And that was in that opener 2020. So
I thought it might've been Rusty LaRue.
Old Riley Skinner. So Wake Forest, unbelievable season last year. What Clawson's done, Bear, I give you all the credit in the world. You've been on this team for years, it seems like. Ever since Clawson took over, you were on their season win total overs. I saw 8, and then this morning I've seen everything at 7. Your take on the Demon Deacons.
Yeah, of course, I'm the horrible individual who immediately, when I woke up this morning and saw the news, logged in all over the place, and FanDuel and DraftKings had taken it down, and there was another site that had at 8.5 that my buddy had access to, that a guy took it under 8.5, and then my friends at Sugar House had reposted it at 7. But of course, I was able to get like $6 on the over 7. So I was looking for a nice middle there on 7 and 8, but we'll have to figure out another way to try and get that. But 7, I think, is probably the bare. I think offensively, this is still going to be a very good team, but I wouldn't go over 7 if, like, just to play it, or under 7 just to play it. When it was 8, 8.5, then I was really considering taking the under.
You were,
because I was defensively. I think this is a team that's going to be really bad once again. Can they outscore certain teams? I mean, you look at some of the wins they had last year, field goal wins over Louisville and Syracuse and NC State. Like that, those are pretty, then that ridiculous Army game where they couldn't get a stop and neither could Army. Mm-hmm. So like, are those results going to really manifest themselves this year? But they were definitely on my list of teams to play under.
I agree with everything you said. I was just going through the schedule again from my notes that I did earlier in the week, and I had them 3-0 going to hosting Clemson. And obviously I had Clemson winning that game. And then when you go after that, now you got a road game. Are you going to have Hartman back at Florida State? That's a toss-up game to me. And that's one I had as a win with Hartman. And I don't know if they beat Army this year. I feel like having another crack at this team, I like the idea of that defensively and seeing that size at wide receiver. They got great talent there. Obviously, AT was an unbelievable go-getter. And Donovan Green comes back. Green missed all last year. So They lost Christian Beal-Smith to South Carolina. It was a great running back. Hartman did throw 14 picks. And when I looked at how the hell they made it work, the defense was bad, but they forced 29 turnovers. And that was the best in the conference and the fifth best in the NCAA. I don't think they could be better than they were last year. Obviously, this news really hurts them, knowing what he controls in that offense. And then I thought he had a chance to break Taj Boyd's record for ACC touchdown passes, which Taj has 107. He needed 35. He threw 39 last year. So really unfortunate news. I do expect them to be coached up. Clawson does a great job. But it's a stay away for me with the Demon Great. Deacon. So that's your Demon Deacons take. Go Deeks. Love the mascot. Next up in that tier, I have the Pitt Panthers. And we know they're going to run the football more this year. I'll just say that with Cignetti and Narduzzi doing his thing at Media Day and just having that Pat Narduzzi madman character to himself. But Bear, I really like what I've read so far of this team. I didn't realize they had this many guys back. I think Slovis steps into a great situation because I'll say this. I know they lost Addison and Pickett obviously got drafted, but I think Addison really benefited from the other talent that Pickett had to throw to. They had really good guys and all those guys are coming back. Jared Wayne's back. Mumford, the transfer from Akron. He was a freshman All-American. Jalen Barden is another guy. And the running back I love, Izzy. I think they're going to be a problem on offense. All seven offensive linemen who started a game last year are back. And we know the great year that they had last year. And the D-line, we'll get to Clemson and what I think of that D line.
Pitt's defensive line is going to be pretty damn good.
This defensive line is a problem. And Calajay Cansey, first team all ACC, 7 sacks, 13 TFLs last year, 3 secondary guys return. And just watching some tape and going back, the creativity Narduzzi has in that defense of blitzing on third downs, like it felt like sometimes they brought guys off the sideline with quarterbacks looking around like, where the hell did that guy come from? So they rank second in the country in sacks per game. I think that's going to continue. Really, really interesting start to the season. Backyard Brawl is back. Yep. You guys will be there, right, for that game?
I'll be there for that. Be there for that. Absolutely.
I'm hoping I get to go to that game as SportsCenter with Van Pelt follows that game. And then they went to Tennessee and won last year, and that's the game when Tennessee found Hooker. We talked about a little bit about that last week. I think Pitt gets Tennessee again. So I think they're 6-0 going to Louisville, who's a team we'll get to, and they got to be 6-0, I think, to go over 8.5. I'm willing to take that chance. I really like this team. They're not afraid of anybody, and that comes from Narduzzi. So I'll take over 8.5 with Pitt.
Well, you know, Narduzzi's going to have a red ass about everything that went on in the offseason, and that's fine.
I mean, good
if you need any additional motivation that you can bring to yourself and your team is always a good thing. But I mean, we didn't even talk about on the defense, Sarasia Dennis, who is what led the team in tackles the last couple of years. He'll be a big part of the defense again as they lose a ton of linebackers. But you just have to trust that they'll figure it out at that position with how well Narduzzi coaches defense. I guess the one thing that you have to worry about is, will he make some type of in-game coaching decision that's going to give you a very negative EV, basically. He's known to kick some field goals and punt on fourth down and do some things to not really maximize his chance of winning.
Yep.
And without a historically great offense with Pickett and Addison, maybe that catches them in a game this year. But I would lean to you, if I had to play it, I would play the over, because I think, well, like you said, the front end of that schedule, we really don't know what way West Virginia is going to go this year. They could go either way. You know, Tennessee is going to be out for motivation, for giving up all those points at home last year and losing that type of game. But it wouldn't necessarily be one of my plays, because I think the Louisville NC State games on the road will be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can get through there 6-2, you'd have to like their chances.
Yeah. And that's why I the veteran things they have and guys up front on both lines of scrimmage really are enticing to me, knowing what Narduzzi wants to do on both sides of the ball. So really excited for Pitt football again, and really fired up for that opener that first Thursday night. All right. Next up, Miami, 8.5. Go.
Well, it's hard. I mean, I think they are a year away from being a legit contender. Like this is, and it's because it's hard because you've got the quarterback this year. You don't know if he's going to be back next year. Their biggest issue is they're going to need someone to step up and make plays at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mallory, the tight end, is obviously a great tight end. You bring in Frank Ladson, who they've been lacking a big, tall, physical wide receiver type threat forever. And I think they're hoping Ladson, who leaves Clemson, can be that guy. I mean, Restrepo is that Barrios type of guy, slottish, make catches, but they're going to need some players to step up and make plays on the perimeter, because look, I mean, we can have the conversation about best quarterback in the ACC.
We will
best quarterback wherever. But if you look at what Tyler Van Dyke did last year over the end of the regular season with what was the sixth straight games with over 300 passing yards and three or better touchdown passes. You go back in the college football playoff era, the only other player to do that was Joe Burrow the year that LSU won the national championship and he won the Heisman Trophy in 2019. Mm-hmm. So he was putting up historic type numbers and really winning games that Miami maybe necessarily didn't deserve to win, whether it was the NC State game or whatever else, Pitt game, Georgia Tech, like a lot of close wins there before they finally lost the close one to the Noles. But it's hard for me to go over for Miami, because you have to assume you're going to lose at A&M, you're going to lose to Clemson. So like you don't have – like it's still at 8.5, you have wiggle room for one more loss, whether that's Pitt, whether that's Florida State, like whether that's North Carolina, and still, if you can get over 8.5, you'd have to think like 9-3 is pretty, you get Virginia in a transition year, you get Virginia Tech in a transition year, Duke is terrible, Middle Tennessee is terrible, Southern Miss, even though a lot of people think they could be a sleeper in that league this year, they shouldn't come to South Florida and win. So if you had to play it, I'd be looking over. What's the ACC win total? Have you seen that?
I have not.
Chris Andrews sent me all this stuff. So I should just try and go back and find this email really quickly.
Okay. Why don't you vamp
and I'll go look for this email.
Got it. I got plenty on the Canes. I really like this team. I absolutely love what Cristobal did in hiring a staff and assembling a staff. Josh Gattis, Alex Maribol, Joe Salaveo is one of the best players I ever played against. Is an absolute machine as a coach. One of the scariest dudes, just flat out. I mean, he will have that D line ready to go. Charlie Strong, Kevin Smith, unbelievable recruiter. So I love that. Now, you mentioned Narduzzi in game. That's my problem with Cristobal is in game. Mm-hmm. He scares me with some decisions in really crucial times, and it cost Oregon some games when he was there. But you mentioned Van Dyke, and yes, the good was really good. And I went in and looked at the win, what he did in the wins and what he did in the losses, and it's a lot on him. 19 TDs and one pick in the 6 wins, in the 3 losses, 6 touchdowns, 5 picks. So they lost, you know, 17 players, whether it's portal graduation, they brought 11 in. They did average 34 with Lashley calling the plays last year. And here's where I see the improvement. They average 420 yards per game, but they had the worst rush, you know, yards per carry per rush at 3.69. That's where they're going to be better. Cristobal's awesome with offensive linemen. Maribel's awesome with offensive linemen. They got the big tackle, Zion Nelson, who's an NFL player. They got 4 guys that return on the O-line. They got Jalen Knighton, who's a great running back. They also got Henry Parrish from Ole Miss. The run game is going to be so much better, and that's why I think Van Dyke's going to really, really be better, whether it's decision-making, being put in better, you know, throwing situations. And I may sound crazy. I think they could go to A&M and win. I think they got the goods to do it because they're going to be able to run the football on a really young A&M defensive line. So I don't think that's a definite win for A&M. I think Miami's going to have the goods to go compete there. And I like over 8.5 with the Canes.
Okay. The ACC win total is 6, by the way, which is what you would think it is. So you get some loss. You lose at Clemson. And probably one more. So that's probably a pretty solid number. But I agree. There's room for improvement. You look at the losses last year. The Virginia loss to me, doink. North Carolina, you lose a field goal. And Florida State was by a field goal. So it's like they were in it, like, despite all the shortcomings that they had on defense last year, and the youth quarterback. They were very close to putting it together. So. I think what you mentioned is the biggest thing moving forward. The staff that Mario has put together, yes, and even maybe more important, the athletic director. Dan Radakovich at Clemson, highly respected. I mean, bringing him back to South Florida, South Florida guy, is a massive deal. And I think you're going to see the benefits very quickly. It was funny. I was joking about that A&M game with Reese Davis and Kirk and the game day producers. I said, for the Miami A&M game, we need to do like some tongue-in-cheek NIL piece. You talk about two schools that I don't know, anyone has like more, I don't want to say ridiculous, but more ridiculous NIL news attached to it than those two schools. So we might be able to have some fun with that.
Before we move on, there are a couple things going on at ESPN that we want to mention. First, ESPN, in partnership with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions, presents Always College Football with ESPN college football analyst Greg McElroy. With off seasons being a thing of the past, Greg McElroy goes year-round with analysis, opinions, and insight on top teams and under-the-radar stories from coast to coast. That's Always College Football. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. And he was the face of the New York Yankees and the most admired player in baseball. The Captain tells the story of Derek Jeter's life and Hall of Fame career. Catch the final episode on Thursday, August 11th at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, and every episode streaming on ESPN+.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. So let's go to Clemson. 10.5 and... two new coordinators. Dabo, I feel like it's the first time because Venables has been there forever. Mm-hmm. And Tony Elliott obviously is taking over at Virginia, who we'll get to. Brandon Streeter is the new OC. We know the struggles that Uiagalelei had last year. To me, looking at the tape, the overthrows and the wide throws and the underthrows, it was just not pretty. And to me, you always hear about the receivers that they brought in, and this 5-star and this 4-star. You know, I think about a guy like Joseph Ngata. Like, is it time? Is this the deal? So I love the running backs. I love Shipley. I love Pace, and I really love Maffa. So they got 37 players coming back with starting experience. They can't be worse than they were offensively. I mean, the defensive line is the best unit in all of the sport, in my opinion. The talent of those four guys and the versatility they have and the athleticism and just all the overall goods, they are going to be a factor in every single game, and they will dominate every single game. In my opinion, I lean towards the over with Clemson.
I do as well. I mean, I don't know if there may be a more, maybe polarizing isn't the right word, but like, are we sure they're going to bounce back to what they were? We shouldn't be. Do we know, like, people remember what DJ did against BC and against Notre Dame in 2020, and it was great. And then last year, as bad as you thought Clemson's offense was, it was worse.
Yes.
They went from, I think it was 8.1 yards per dropback in 2019 to 8 yards per dropback in 2020, and then 5.5 last year. Like, DJ's QBR was 54th out of 65 qualified quarterbacks in the Power Five. Like it was terrible. And I'm glad you mentioned the wide receivers, because I mentioned how Latson was one of those bigger wide receivers like Miami needed. Like, Clemson, I think, has kind of gotten away from the Renfro type guy, the slot guy that really makes their offense go. And all these big 5-stars, physical, big recruits, guys on the outside haven't necessarily been the best fit for that offense. So, you know Dabo as well as I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is quietly right now salivating.
No doubt.
Just waiting for the end of the year. Brent Venable's gone. Tony Elliott, y'all thought old Dabo Swinney couldn't coach now, did you? And he is waiting and dying to say, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
So it would not – how much better can the offense be? It can be a good bit better. But how much does it really need to be better in order to win the ACC and reach the college football playoff? Because – as bad as it was last year for Clemson, the terrible year, they still wind up winning 10 games, and their three losses were by a touchdown on a pick six in the opening game of the year to the team that went on to win the national championship, in overtime at NC State, and then to the team that wound up winning the league in Pitt. So, like, there was still that close to getting back to what, a seventh straight ACC yeah. championship game and a seventh straight college football playoff. I think you just have to trust Clemson. Mm-hmm. I'd probably play them at plus money to reach the college football playoff. I think they're around plus 150 or so.
Yeah.
And with where they're going to start the year and the rankings and the polls, I would take my chances with that bet.
Agree. The schedule, they should be 3-0 at going to Wake Forest. You know, that's obviously different now. Then they get NC State, then they're at Florida State, and then they're at Notre Dame, I believe. Or does Notre Dame go there?
That'll be the only game that they're not favored by more than a touchdown.
Mm. So they end the year with three home games with Louisville, Miami, and South Carolina, obviously. There's just so much to love. That defense, I mean, they just got gangbusters up there, man. They are so good, and they disrupt everything. And you mentioned, you know, they didn't even have Brissett last year, and that D line. That's why they were in those games, is because of that group up front. That's how dominant they are. So expect big things from Clemson for sure this year. All right, that last team in that upper tier is a team that I feel like you're in or you're not. And that's the Wolfpack, and it's NC State, and it's Dave Doran. And I'll just go first here and just say, when I look at this team and I look how mad they were, and listen, everything that happened, bowl game, with the cancellation, and did he go a little too far?
College World Series and the bowl game, like, their fans are
don't bring the College World Series up. No. That one really hurt. So I really think, like, you talk about Dabo, you know, wanting to prove. I think this team has the ultimate bad taste in their mouth, because they could have been the second team ever to win 10 games or double-digit games in school history with that game if they got that. They were really geared up for that. And I looked at that as an opportunity for them to play out west and play a Pac-12 school and really prove something. And, you know, Doran's gone, you know, at the NFL draft, he said he's got the best quarterback in the country. Plenty of people have opinions there. But what you can't argue is what he's built there, man. Like, they've got a really good run going there. They're only behind Clemson and ACC wins the last 5 years with 39. There's only 8 Power 5 teams that have won more games in the last couple of years. They have 14 players drafted the last 4 years. And then when you look at last year, 1-point loss at Miami, 3-point loss to Wake Forest. I really like how this team
and the turnover fest in Starkville.
Correct. Oh yeah, that one. So the running back situation.
It wasn't Starkville, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I remember. It was, right?
Yep. So they'll figure the running back situation. I'm not worried about that. They obviously got to replace the left tackle who was drafted high, but they have guys there. They got fourth and fifth year guys at tight ends. And the defense, I want to say, I have it right here. It's
defense, 88% of the production is back from last year. And you get guys back who didn't even play last year.
Yeah, so, that's Peyton Wilson. Yeah, Peyton Wilson, who missed all last year. He was an all-ACC player in 19 and 20. They got 15 or 16 top tacklers back. They got the all-time leader in school in points in their kicker, Chris Dunn, back. They're at Clemson, and they end the year at Louisville, at North Carolina. They had the fewest players enter the portal in the ACC. That talks about the culture to me that he's built there. I really like this team. I think double digits wins is the ceiling. I go over 8.5 with the Wolfpack.
Yeah, they are certainly the are you and are you not. I like the way you put that.
Yeah,
because I think this is a lightning rod team, because there's some programs that just kind of are what they are, and that's the kind of the moniker that I think people have with NC State. Like, it doesn't matter like who they have on the field or who they have on the sideline. Like, you know, like 9-4 is what their record's going to be. I'm kind of joking about that, like with Pitt last year. I would say this about the running game. I would be a little bit concerned losing the best offensive lineman from last year, guy that went in the top 10 in the NFL draft. Like, running backs that they had last year, they really struggled to run the football. And you look at the numbers passing as well. Like, are you going to get Devin Leary having time to make proper decisions with what, the 35-5 touchdown to interception ratio like he had? Like, I mean, that Clemson game is so – well, before we get to the Clemson game, That opening game against NC, at East Carolina, that game stinks out loud. Like that has upset trap potential written all over it. Because you know Mike Houston is building that team, and you know our guy Holton Ahlers is back, and they get an in-state team in Greenville. Like I don't know what – I think that number is like 11 or 12 right now. I'm guessing it's going to hit 13, 13 and a half because there's so much hype about NC State this year. I could really see myself week one getting behind the Pirates plus the points in week one, even though it will be a – look, I think the NC State defense is legit, and I mentioned the returning production, and I know you mentioned Wilson coming back. Like, if you look at like the numbers that they had, top 15 nationally in three and out percentage, third down defense, and points allowed per draw, so they're getting teams off the field. So like which is the goal of defense, get teams off the field, keep them out of the end zone, and those are three pretty relevant stats to that. So I think they are legit. I think they are good, but I do think going to Clemson is going to be tough after what happened last year. Mm-hmm. I think going in that two-game stretch at the end of the year, Louisville and UNC, I think could be very, very tough, and they could wind up dropping both of those teams because I'm a lot higher on both of those two teams than I think a lot of people are.
Okay, good. Let's get to those other teams. The rest of the conference I talked about, I think those teams who could play their way up to those teams. Let's just start at the bottom. The Dukies, Mike Elko, the season win total is 3. It doesn't look too great. The quarterback transferred out. Their best wide receivers went to UCLA. Brand new coaching staff. The schedule seems kind of brutal. I will say, I have this marked down, they play Virginia Tech late in the year. I will have the under in that game. I will just tell you that. I don't see many points being scored. Defense last in yards per game, 517 last in yards per play. They gave up 7.1 yards per play, and they gave up 40 a game. I can't take the over with Duke.
What will the projected spread be in the game at Georgia Tech? Because they're basically over under a half to win an ACC conference game. So like you can play under and then they get it. There'd be a dog, I would think.
Yes, they are.
In Atlanta. I have Brad Powers as a preview here. Wow. Brad Powers has Georgia Tech an 11-point favorite.
I was going to say 7.
Wow. So don't you just play Duke under a half ACC wins? Mm-hmm. And then the only game that they potentially could win, I think, is Georgia Tech, and you take them on the money line as a double-digit dog?
Yeah. They didn't win a game last year.
I know. Over is minus 160, by the way. So, like, I mean, you have to pay for it a little bit, but I don't know. I consider going winless ACC once again.
Okay. They're 1-17 the last 2 years. Or,
yeah, that's not good.
Yeah,
that's
1-17 the last 2 years. So,
gosh, they're look at their 38, 31, 48, 45, 54, 48, 62, 47. Wow, that's a combination of absolutely quitting and your defense absolutely stinking. What's the points allowed?
40 a game, 40 a game.
Yeah, put me down for Duke winless ACC.
Okay. Speaking of bad games to end the season, Georgia Tech got outscored 100-0 in their last two games. Now it was Notre Dame and it was Georgia. Big year. Collins made a bunch of moves. 12 players left, stating uncertainty in the program. Three coaches fired, 5 assistants left.
Uncertainty in the program. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, that was the quote used. I read that. I forgot where I read that. Maybe The Athletic when I looked at the Georgia Tech stuff. Jeff Sims back 57% for his career, 25 touchdowns, 20 picks.
Is he even going to be the guy, though? Like, he might not even be the guy.
Yeah. I mean, they got three quarterback guys there, and I figured it was to help him. Chip Long's the OC now. Chris Wanky is a quarterback's coach, and now Jim Chaney is in there as a special assistant to the head coach. And knowing what Chaney's done,
is that what Jim Chaney is?
Yeah, Yeah, he's in Atlanta. I don't even think he moved out of Athens.
I was gonna say we need like the Jolie Dunn like SEC coaching tree with Jim Cheney in the South. We need like that those coaching branches. All the different
Coach Chavis in there too. 3 years under Collins, they finished 124th, 95th, and 95th in scoring. The only team that allowed more points than them per game, obviously, was Duke. They allowed 40 and Georgia Tech 33. They're not beating Clemson. They're not beating Ole Miss. They're not beating Pitt, and they're not beating Georgia. So that means you got to win six of these eight. Western Carolina at UCF, Duke, UVA, at Florida State, at Virginia Tech, Miami, and at Carolina. I don't see it.
I've already played under 3.5 plus
money. Okay.
Like this is a schedule that gets your coach fired. Like yeah. Your non-conference schedule is Ole Miss, UCF, and Georgia. That's your non-conference. Like you're not winning any of those three games. And then you've got Clemson and the rest of the I don't know who you're beating. So yeah. I took Georgia Tech under 3.5 at plus money, and then their ACC win total is 2. Who are you beating outside of Duke?
I think Virginia Tech is a possibility.
Are you going to win 3? No. Are you gonna win 3 to beat me?
No.
So I might even play the under 2 wins in the ACC on Tech.
Okay.
I feel pretty good. I feel good about under 3.5 at plus money for season.
All right. Let's go to Tallahassee, Florida State. Mike Norvell, brutal start to the season last year, 0-4. And then they won 5 of 7. They got back on their feet. The defense got improved. They had a bowl game on the line and went to Gainesville and lost. And now it's 4 straight losing seasons. 5 years, they've had 3 different head coaches, 8 coordinators. They only have 8 seniors on this whole team. They got a lot of youth that's played a lot of football now in Tallahassee. It feels like Travis is the guy after he's played. I don't know. I where is it? He started 14 games over 2 years. The running backs, I think, are not an issue. The biggest problem with Florida State and what it's been is the offensive line. They're 114th in sacks allowed, 97th in tackles for loss allowed. They haven't finished better than 95th in sacks allowed per game since 2015. So that there tells me how bad it's been.
That's a 20-plus year running problem, it seems like.
Three transfers at receiver who I like a lot, Micah Pittman from Oregon, Johnny Wilson, and Deuce Spann. They also have 6 of their top 7 pass catchers, but nobody had more than 25 catches. So that just tells you about the youth, I think. The defense is going to be interesting because I look at how they improved last year and then what they have returning, and then they got this kid, Jared Verse, who was FCS All-American from Albany. And they got him from watching film when they were playing Syracuse, and Albany played Syracuse. And this kid is a serious pass rusher. I think he's going to help them a ton. Defense coordinator Adam Fuller thinks that they got three safeties that are NFL players. They obviously lose the big-time pass rusher last year. I like the improvement. I think Norvell deserves another shot. The number is 6.5. I don't think they could get to 7. The schedule's tough, and they get Duquesne before LSU, which I think is important. But when you look at the road games, I consider LSU a road game because it's in New Orleans. At Louisville, at NC State, at Miami, and at Syracuse, I think is a tricky deal. So, when I read everything and then I went to the schedule, I couldn't get there. So it's a lean to the under for me on Florida State.
Yeah, I would probably lean that way too, because I think you're going to be 1-2 after the two. But at the same time, then you get. I mean, it's almost like they have groups of games, like LSU, Louisville, loss, BC, Wake Forest win, and who knows what the Sam Hartman situation will be then. NC State, Clemson, loss, and then Yeah, it's, I don't have any strong opinions one way or another.
Yeah,
on Florida State. All I know is that they're still kind of building this culture back up after running off so many guys and bringing kids back. So I mean, I think there's more reason for optimism in terms of their being an improved product this year on the field. So we'll see how it goes.
Agreed. And that's why I think they're in a tough spot, because I think they're definitely going to be a better football team. I just don't think the record's going to show it, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm,
all totally. Right, let's get to your Louisville Cardinals. You seem very, very high on Scott Satterfield's bunch. He's in his fourth year. He's 18-19 there. I believe he started out with an 8-5 season. The number is 6.5. I'll let you take your hair with the Cardinals.
Yeah, see, that's good, because I got it back at 5.5. So I mean, obviously, okay. I can't like tout and say bet it, because
yep.
5.5 is no longer out there. But at 6.5, it does allow your boy to try and get that baby to land on 6. So we'll have to shuffle around for that.
It's a very good possibility that happens, by the way. But go ahead.
Yeah, like that is the number. I just think offensively that I think they're going to be fine. I think. Bringing in some guys via the portal, I think, will ultimately help them. And again, like we've talked about with certain teams, like, can the defense be this bad again? I think they have an opportunity to win some games. The Syracuse game, you start off 2 on the road, you'll probably split it best at worst there.
Yeah,
and then South Florida, Florida State. I think you should win both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're 3-1 at worst, and then you get BC and Virginia, which you're probably better than both of those teams.
No doubt,
probably split. James Madison should be a win. Like, yeah, it's hard for me to say go over 6.5.
Yeah,
being that I had the 5.5, I obviously. I was anticipating 6 wins as kind of a bare minimum, but 6.5 is a much more difficult number. So I still think that it has the potential to be a 7-5 type team, but I certainly understand those who would be hesitant in going over 6.5.
Yeah, to me, it's Satterfield. I get it. They were mad at him for exploring other options. He's still a damn good football coach, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And Louisville's just one of those schools. I think it's like West Virginia. I think the portal sort of at first hurt it, and now they're starting to figure it out. They got this kid who's an FCS All-American from Central Arkansas, Tyler Hudson, 6'2", 197. He supposedly is fantastic, and obviously. They lost Harrell to Alabama. He averaged 29 yards per catch last year. That's incredible to me. I think they're the same as Florida State. I think they're going to be so much better than they were last year, but that the start of the season is they have to win at Syracuse. And I just don't like that matchup, because Syracuse is going to run the ball and try and shorten the game. Whereas Louisville is going to want to go up and down the field. And you mentioned the defense. They get 10 starters back, but they're 83rd in total defense, 88th in yards per play, and 77th in scoring D. So it's tough. They will be better. He expects improvement on D from what I'm reading. I would hope so. I think that 6 is a real possibility. I do think they go to a bowl game. I can't touch the over there with Louisville.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The other team that I had mentioned that I'm a lot higher on, I think, than a lot of people is North Carolina.
Okay.
I mean, last year we had talked, and I think a lot of people felt that Clemson might have been a little bit vulnerable last year, and I landed on the wrong team. I landed on North Carolina instead of Pitt. Again, defense was terrible. They were so bad up front on both sides of the ball, protecting Sam Howell, getting pressure, tackling. Linebackers were terrible. I think bringing in Chiz will give Mac Brown a little bit of a familiarity. I think he'll be better off with someone he's familiar with as a defensive coordinator. Look, Josh Downs is still a dangerous player. I think you can't help but be better up front on both sides of the ball. You can't help but commit fewer penalties. So I think this might be a situation where you're catching North Carolina at the right time. It's a great buy low opportunity. Maybe people were a year ahead on the Tar Heels because of all the hype around Sam Howell last year. They've recruited unbelievably well. And we've talked about, with Clemson, the losses. As crappy as everything went for them last year, you lose to Pitt by a touchdown. You lose to NC State by four. You lose to Virginia Tech in a weird opening game and on a Friday night by a touchdown. Like, there were winnable games for them. You put forth a good offensive effort against Notre Dame and couldn't get it done. So, like, I think there are pieces there for North Carolina. I think they'll be better defensively. And you look at the schedule, you don't get Clemson. You get NC State at home, and you get Notre Dame at home earlier in the year. Now, look, why Mac Brown or whoever the AD is scheduling a non-conference game at Appalachian State is crazy. You're walking into you're basically volunteering to be upset scheduling that game. And then you're playing Georgia State, who we've seen them beat some teams in the past as well. That's why I actually played North Carolina. I got them at like 20-1 to win the ACC, just because you look at the ACC schedule, it shakes out pretty well for them. Mm-hmm. They've done well against Miami.
Yeah.
So going to Miami is not going to scare them. Hosting NC State off of the lot, that'll be a good thing for them. So you're looking at win totals or throw those down, take those non-conference games out of the equation by just sticking with an ACC only win total or to win the ACC. Remember, you get to the ACC championship game and you're holding 20-1 and you're going to be maybe a double digit underdog to Clemson. If Clemson turns out to get it turned around again, you're in a position to do some things, by the way. Oh, and by the way, we are in the bottom of the third at Citi Field, 6-0.
Yep.
New York
Naquin.
Mets.
Naquin just
they won. The Mets may not lose another game this year.
Stop. Thanks for your Yanks great base running last night, staying up till 2:45 in the morning to watch that.
By the way, I am a Yankees fan, but I am so excited about the Mets. Honestly, I'm being dead serious here. They're the best team in New York. I seeing DeGrom back healthy now and Max doing his thing and Lindor. Like I was so bummed that they couldn't pull off a deal for Soto, but I love Buck. I am really, really I'm all in on the Mets with you, man. I hope they get it done.
I do too.
Just because I'm so down on the Yankees. Brian Cashman, why would you want to put together a deal for Louis Castillo when you can go out and get Frankie Montas? I'm disappointed that he didn't try and go out and just get Jose Quintana as well to help shore up that staff. No one talks a big game and delivers less than what the Yankees front office has done in recent years at the trade deadline.
Mm. Okay.
Go Mets.
Back to North Carolina. I love your point about staying away from, because here I'll just say this: with the season win total, I can't play over because of those two road games. Those are awful. And then you get Notre Dame after that. So I love your idea of playing them to win the ACC or go over in ACC wins. I love that play because I cannot stand those two road games. And I think it's a tough deal, especially because you are you going to play both quarterbacks in those games? You know, you're going to be in a dogfight in both of those games. They lost Antoine Green for 6 to 10 weeks, but they love this freshman Andre Green they have. They also have George Pettaway. So I'm not worried about the skill guys. They've recruited as well, you said it, as anybody. Like, I would say, what, Clemson? And if you throw in Notre Dame still, and recruited as much as them. So I'm fired up. It's a stay away from me, but I can understand. And I don't know. I always root for Mac, and I think – Coach Chiz back in the mix. He is the ultimate communicator. That's all I can think of when I talk to him, when I think about him, and his defense will be communicating better this year. I will guarantee that. All right. For the first time in a while, I will not be taking Boston College over. They had brutal injury to offensive line All-American Christian Mahogany. He was a first rounder for sure. Dracovic hasn't proven he could finish a season. Wasn't right when he came back. I give him a lot of credit to try and come back. I do like the running backs. I feel like Zay Flowers will be doubled a lot, and I don't know if they have other difference makers. I'm really fired up for McNulty, the new offensive coordinator, who was the Notre Dame tight end coach. The defense, I thought, held it together when they had just so many injuries. I just don't think they have he's recruiting better, but I don't think they have the difference makers they need to win. When you talk about, you know, going on the road, you know, and playing at NC State, at Notre Dame, at Wake Forest, at Florida State, I think it's a tough one. And then early on, they get Rutgers at home and at Virginia Tech to start the year. Those are circumstances where I think it's going to be tough to win. So I lean under on Boston College.
And another team that I think it's a big year, I believe, for Dino Babers at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Made some changes on that offensive staff.
Yep.
You bring in Robert and I and those guys from Virginia who became available. I don't know where ultimately to land on this. Probably a conference win total of 3. I mean, okay. You look at those games. I think it's going to be hard for them to win 4. I mean, I think 3 is probably you ultimately get. I'll put it this way: you can probably play over, and then it may come down to that Boston College game. You should.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Virginia, Louisville at home, Florida State at home. Those are all winnable, and then you get FBC. So, I think I could see myself playing a lot of unders. With this team, I think defensively they'll be okay. I think they kind of wore down a little bit late last year offensively as well with Tucker and all the carries piling up and Schrader and his ability to run. I can remember, but I'll be honest, I remember the last time I really dove in and watched Syracuse football was that Friday night game against Liberty when I had him at home.
Mm.
Back when Malik Willis was the Heisman front runner and Liberty was going to go to the New Year's Six and all that stuff, but. So, I think that was probably the last time I actually gave Syracuse football a real strong look. But I can see them being involved in a lot of lower-scoring type games this year.
Agreed. Had their over last year. That hit very early, I want to say. I think it was only 3, and they got to 5-7 last year. Here's the problem with their schedule. They don't get to play Duke or Georgia Tech. That's tough. And you got a tricky, you know, home game against Purdue. I don't, you know, I like what I'm reading about Purdue. The opener's huge if you want to go over on the win total. Louisville, I like the matchup for Syracuse there. You mentioned all the additions offensively. Schrader.
Good luck, by the way. I just noticed this, too, if you mentioned the schedule. 4 straight weeks. NC State at Clemson,
Notre Dame
at Pitt. Are you kidding me?
And yeah, God. And then Florida State at Wake, FBC. So. 4.5, I would lean under there just because I think they're going to be limited on offense when you look at those defenses they have to play. And I give their defense a lot of credit. They came in second behind Clemson in average sacks per game. They only gave up 330 yards per game and 26 points per game. So the defense was there. I think you made a good point with that offense being a little fatigued and worn out at the end of the year. So tough stretch ahead for the Cuse. Virginia Tech, new coach Brett Pry, 6 years at Penn State under James Franklin. Their number is 6. And I just, when I look at the roster, especially on the offensive side, I don't like what I've seen. Burmeister transferred to San Diego State, plenty of opinions on him. But they bring in Grant Wells from Marshall. And as good of the numbers that look, you know, 5,600 yards, 34 touchdowns in his 2 years there. I look at the turnovers he had playing in Conference USA, and now he's going up against way better talent.
Million in the interceptions.
You know the defense is going to be better with Pry. They have to get back to that lunch pail mentality. I just don't think they have difference makers on offense, and it's a stay away from me. I will look to bet unders in their games for sure, because I know Pry will get that defense going with his ability to get after the quarterback, whether he uses 4 guys, 5 guys, 6 guys, whatever. So I think they could go over, but I can't play it because of the uncertainty on offense, and I'm not really that big of a Grant Wells fan. He did bring in Joe Rudolph as an old Wisconsin offensive line coach to try and help with the offensive line play. So the Texters are a stay away for me.
Yeah, it's a stay away from me. I do think Brent Pry is the type of hire that I think will resonate well amongst the Virginia Tech fan base. He feels like a lunch pail, hard-nosed, blue-collar type hire that kind of represents what that program has been built on. So it may not reap dividends this year, but I think you're going to see an effort level much higher than what you saw at times in the last couple of years from the Hokies.
I'll just say this. Looking at the schedule, if they can win 3 of their first 4 at Old Dominion, I don't know why you're doing that. That's a disaster.
That worked out once already, right?
Yeah. You host BC, then you get Wofford, and then you host West Virginia. Those are all winnable games. And then you end the year with Georgia Tech at Duke, at Liberty, and Virginia. So If they could not turn the ball over, I might look at Virginia Tech. I can't because I just think they're going to be bad on offense. They're not going to win those first 4.
No.
If they do, a loss
will find them.
Yeah. All right. And then that gets us to the Cavaliers. Tony Elliott, first year. Brennan Armstrong's my favorite quarterback in the conference. I love the skill guys he has to throw the ball to. They got to figure out the running back situation. I'm scared to death for Armstrong again, knowing how many times he got hit last year. And then they lose their best 6 linemen, 4 transferred. And the most experienced O-line returning guy started 2 games last year. The fewest rush yards in the ACC last year. And they were awful when Armstrong was out against Notre Dame last year. I was at that game. And the defense is they can only get better, but I don't like the way that it sets up for him. So it's an under for me. I love he's probably my favorite player in the conference, besides Brian Bresee at Clemson. But I don't like the way it's constructed right now for Tony Elliott to have to win games consistently, and that's why the number I think I saw at Caesars or Circa was 6.5. I would have to lean under on that with the Wahoos.
Yeah, I don't have much to add there, but pretty much the similar thinking there.
All right. Token ACC member, Notre Dame, to finish it off. Your Irish Bear, Marcus Freeman. You already got things ruffled with the feathers with Coach Day and Freeman at the NFL draft when you're bringing out the point spread. What do you feel about the Irish this year?
I think you look at the way the schedule breaks down, I think you're going to assume that they lose the opening game at Ohio State. But and I think at the same time, you could make an argument that the rest of the way, maybe they don't lose another game. Like they'll be – the Clemson game could potentially be right around a pick 'em, depending on how that goes. You get what they have, what North Carolina as well early in the year. It might be a good opportunity to get them there. And then they have USC at the end of the year.
Mm.
So what do we have? We're total 9.5 on the Irish. Is that what they are?
I jumped on over last month or a month and a half ago. I got over 8.5 at -130.
Yeah, I would say 9-3 kind of feels like where they will end up. Because if you figure you'll lose to Ohio State and then maybe you drop two of those three. I mean, 8-4 is certainly possible, but 9-3 kind of feels like, right. So if you can find an 8.5 juiced, I'd probably look at that. Again, they've got some questions to answer at the quarterback position. So that's the biggest thing I think you need to look at moving forward. I mean, you know, Freeman defensively will get things figured out, but how they handle the quarterback position and how they're going to be better at that position, I think is the biggest question that you have from a Notre Dame standpoint. But I think anyone who wants to make a case that Notre Dame could run the table after the Ohio State game, I wouldn't argue with that.
I'm right here. That's what I see happening. I think they got the goods. I love the way the offensive line is constructed. I'm dying to see how they look against Ohio State in that opener. You know, the two sophomore tackles, Fisher and Ault, I think are tremendous players, going to be pros. I don't care, Coach Donnan, I'm sorry. Michael Mayer is the best tight end in college football. I understand Georgia has the best tight end room, but Michael Mayer is the best tight end in college football. So I don't want to hear this Brock Bowers is the best tight end in the country. Michael Mayer is the best tight end in college football.
I had to do a list for College Football Live of my favorite players in the country, and he was on my list of top fives.
He's number one for me. Now what I want is to see Tommy Rees get him 100 catches. That's what I want to see. I think he's that
good.
I think he's that good. They love what they're seeing from Tobias Merriweather, a freshman receiver. He's been opening some eyes at camp. So, like you said, Freeman will get the defense going. Brandon Joseph's back at safety. Liafu, who broke his ankle last year, I think he's got some star potential.
Lufau is a stud.
And Foskey's, I mean, I was going back with Cole Kubelik about this a couple weeks ago. Just the idea of, I don't want to say lack of, I just don't, like, when you think about great pass rushers, it feels like there's not that many, but Notre Dame has one in Foskey. I think he's tremendous at getting after the quarterback. And one of the hires that I really liked by Freeman is he got Brian Mason from Cincinnati, special teams coach, and they led the country in block kicks. So the way Notre Dame gets going and the momentum you could get, I like the idea that I do think they run the table and go over 8.5. I like the Irish. I just 11-1, get them in the playoff.
It's going to depend. I mean, the fourth spot is wide open. It'll depend on Utah. It'll depend on Clemson. We'll see. By the way, you can withdraw that apology to Coach Donnan, because he just sent us a text that begins with "You two idiots." Those are the first. So you can withdraw that apology to Coach Donnan. You had given him grief before about the Miami SI cover after the Orange Bowl.
Yes.
And we were kind of giving him a hard time. And he was just giving us you two idiots. We played without Jamel and our fullback and still almost won. So we love the coach. We love the head dog.
Notre Dame out of the equation, not saying that he would be there. Who is your favorite quarterback in the ACC?
It's got to be. I mean, I'm putting on alumni rose-colored glasses here, but I mean, the fact that I have a quarterback as dynamic as I do at my alma mater, it's got to be him.
Okay.
For me. I mean, I can understand those who would say Brennan Armstrong. I think that, but it's interesting how much of a national following and a national recognition, like is he a household name enough nationally?
Van Dyke?
To get the hype that Brennan Armstrong, he deserves. I mean, he's a great player. But I don't know if anybody west of the Mississippi knows who the hell he is.
Correct. He did open some eyes last year when they go to BYU when they lost. I thought he played well in the first half. That game was nuts. But no, I think the world of the kid. I don't like I said, the offensive line. I would take him. How many quarterbacks would you take before you took Uiagalelei in the conference? Seven?
Well, let's get the standings out.
Well, that was with Sam Hartman. I would take Sam Hartman.
Oh yeah, Djokovic.
Yep.
Hartman.
Yep.
Cunningham.
Yep.
Leary.
Yep.
Van Dyke.
Yep. Armstrong.
Did I say Armstrong? No.
No. Yeah. So that's six.
It's six, and then I think you're kind of up in the air because I wouldn't take Garrett Schrader. Do you take Jordan Travis? Maybe. Duke, no. Sims, I don't think you can take.
No. So now Slovis, without Hartman.
Is Slovis going to win the job at Pitt?
Yes.
I'd say seven's probably the number.
And they're probably going to win the conference. That's crazy. Crazy. Yep. But you know what? He could come back and look like that BC and Notre Dame self. So who knows? All right. Next week, what do you think?
I know John Murray from the Westgate Superbook would love to come on with us.
Oh, really?
And talk some Big Ten.
Oh, let's do Big Ten then next week.
Maybe we can get the director on as a guest and talk some Big Ten. I'll shoot him a note.
Okay.
So I'm going to be actually out in Vegas next week for our daily wager shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then the little meet and greet that we got going on at some seminar or something. I have to look up the details. So maybe I can head on over to Superbook at some time on Wednesday and we can knock that out.
Okay. I'm going to need you to get over to Circa for me.
I think I can do that.
Okay. Because there's a
I think I can do that.
There's a number I need on my Washington State Cougars.
All right. We'll have that discussion offline.
Absolutely.
And I will take care of it for you.
All right. All right. That'll do it. ACC is done. And next week we'll do Big Ten. Appreciate everybody listening. Any questions, hit us up on Twitter at StanfordSteve82, at Chris Felica. I've finished ACC. I'm done with Big Ten, halfway through to Big 12, saving the Pac-12 for last because that's the way it's been. Sort of, although I am fired up for the top three teams in the Pac-12 South. I think there's a lot cooking there. So
there is.
Yeah,
Utah's freaking good, man. UCLA is freaking good.
Yep.
I didn't use the bad word. I didn't use that. I said something else.
All right. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.